April 23rd, 2016, Fight for the Mind in upstate Messina, New York, where this happened.
Your opening contest on Fight for the Mind tonight. It's scheduled for one fall.
The Power, Andy Knowles, makes his ring announcing debut, and we count down the days to pay back all that and more right here. Pro Wrestling Rewind, SNS Radio Network.
The Power is back, and here we go!
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I am here to give my opinion on the product, whether you agree or disagree.
That's called the power, brother.
Coming off what was a fantastic, absolutely fantastic, life-changing experience. The Power, Andy Knowles, back with you. Pro Wrestling Rewind, Fight for the Mind in Your Face Wrestling. Wow. That's all I have to say is wow. And ladies and gentlemen, if you get the opportunity, go to IYFWrestling.com. Check out the live stream. A dream come true for me. Good evening once again, my friends, pro wrestling fans, and conspiracy theorists all across the seven continents. Pro wrestling's truth detector, the intellectual savior of the SNS Radio Network. Your truth, your guiding light through the murkiness of bad storylines and poor creative decisions. The Power, Andy Knowles, back with you. Good evening, T.
This is my second radio show in two nights, and do you know why?
Why?
Because I'm not a bad co-host. I'm not a good co-host. I'm the co-host.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Did you get an opportunity? Have you gone over to the website yet? Have you checked it out yet?
I didn't see the show, but I did see the clips. In fact, I shared them. I tweeted them out. I did see the clips you sent me doing the what you do in the ring announcing, which I used to intro the show for us tonight. And it looks like you did a great job. Looks like you had a good time.
I had the opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk to you everything about Fight for the Mind tonight. We've got Payback just around the corner. We've got to talk about a lot to talk about. This sponsor this half hour, EvilSeedSauces.com. Do your meat a treat. Give them a flavor they will never forget. Get yourself over to EvilSeedSauces.com. Check out the Big Evil Bacon Barbecue, the Cirque du Noir, so much more. Treat your meat to the greatest sauces available. Redefining flavor with refined heat. Evil Seed Sauces. The Evil Seed Sauce Company. EvilSeedSauces.com. I really didn't know. First off, nothing was really going right for me Saturday leading up to the event. I had a couple of things that happened in the morning. I ended up was hoping to be at the venue around 2 o'clock. It was about an hour behind. So I sent a quick text to Shooter. I said, I'm running an hour late. He said, no problem. 3 o'clock, I got there. The ring had not yet arrived yet at this point. So I had the opportunity to meet some of the talent. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been to a house show, and professional wrestlers that listen to this program will, those indie wrestlers, the WWE talent, TNA talent, those that dare to listen to the Rewind, because you know there is a subculture of professional wrestlers that will selfishly listen to the Pro Wrestling Rewind and will not tell anybody that they listen to this program for fear that they will be ostracized. But there is a camaraderie, ladies and gentlemen, with professional wrestlers and professional wrestling talent that is on full display. One of the things that I found so fascinating was the fact that all the wrestlers, every single one of them, and referees included, everybody went up, introduced themselves, shook everybody's hand, and even did so with me. And you know, I'm technically, although I am a big time radio host, former ESPN personality, I am great. I admit it. I am humble enough to admit that I'm great.
Oh yeah, but your modesty is, I mean,
It's unparalleled.
You are probably the most modest person on earth.
I am. I am by far the most humble person on the planet. So, but to go into this venue, it's one thing, ladies and gentlemen, to get behind a microphone and talk about this sport and talk about the personalities, talk to the newsmakers of the sport, which I have done. But it's a whole other story to actually be there. It's a whole other story when you are actually at the event and part of the show. And all the wrestlers, every one of them, shook hands, introduced themselves, were so kind, so gracious. I'll be very honest with you. I didn't really know what to say. I simply said, you know, hi, my name is Andy Knowles. I'm going to be your ring announcer tonight. And the ring had not yet arrived at 3 o'clock by the time I had gotten there. The ring actually came about a half hour later. Every single wrestler on that card dropped what they were doing, went out. Nobody asked them. Everybody, even the referee, Brian Rubright, who I just friended on Facebook today, another class act. Everybody was out there helping grab pieces of the ring. Even Eve, even the Black Widow, went and was. And by the way, I have a total, you know, very few people from Quebec that I like. She is one that I like. I'm going to get into her story in a little bit too. Had a great conversation with her. But everybody grabbing pieces of the ring, getting the ring set up, everybody helping. It was amazing. I was honored to be a part of it. I really was. It was just to meet all the talent. Tommy Dreamer showed up. It was an interesting story. I had a chance to talk to Shooter Storm's father later in the evening. He had actually gone down and picked up Tommy Dreamer from his flight and drove him up. And so he came, and everybody just, when Tommy Dreamer walked in, everybody stopped. And everybody made sure to go up and say hi to Tommy. I went up and introduced myself. And once again, just amazing. So they got the ring set up. Tommy was doing a seminar. If you paid extra, you had the opportunity to go and listen to Tommy speak, get some insight on professional wrestling, and away you go. So we got into the dressing room. We got into the dressing room. The Black Widow, there was no place for Eve to change separately. So she got to change. She went and she changed in the men's dressing room. Now that before you get any ideas, no, she didn't like strip down or nothing. She would go into the bathroom and do that stuff. But she didn't care. Nobody cared. It was like, oh my God, there was a woman in the men's dressing room. Nobody cared. As far as they were concerned, she was one of the boys. It was just amazing.
Well, a few of the ECW original guys said that, you know, back in the day, ECW, where they used to wrestle, they only had one dressing room.
And right.
It was mutual respect. When the girls needed to dress, the guys would turn their backs, and that was it.
That's all there was to it, and it was the same thing here. And so I got suited up. Another thing, too, is that people didn't come in their T-shirt and jeans. Everybody was dressed professionally. So a lot of the wrestlers came in suits or in business casual. That was another thing that kind of struck me. I had just come in, I just come in slacks and a polo coming to the event, and I brought my three-piece with me. So we're getting ready. I'm getting suited up. I had, as you saw, I had cards already made up that I could just basically drop names and weights and all that kind of thing. So I went around to all the talent. We got the match list. Got to sit in on the production meeting. That was fun. It was great to be a part of the production meeting. Of course, Drake Evans, the In Your Face Wrestling heavyweight champion, was there. Shooter Storm was there. Chip Stetson, one half the tag team champions, was there. A lot of the talent were there in the production meeting. And the breakdown was there, and they were very upfront what you could do, what the expectations were, what you could not do, the fact that the New York State Athletic Commission could very well have been there. The doctor had not yet shown up. There is a doctor that is on site. These wrestlers were tested. before they got to go out. And that's another story that I'm going to get into, which happened later on in the card involving one of the talent. But this was a very well-run event. I had gotten changed. I went, I made a point of going and talking to all the wrestlers that I would be announcing. That that little bit that happened in the one introduction where I pronounced Dr. Philip Basquiat's name wrong, that was actually done on purpose. My kids were all, you could hear my kids who were at ringside. They were afraid I was going to get popped. That was actually done on purpose to get Basquiat a little bit of heat. That's why he got up in my face and I got told to say the name. Now, Sebastian Kelly jumping on me was actually an accident. That bump was not supposed to happen. I was more annoyed about that than anything else, simply because nobody had told me that it was going to happen. But be that as it may, we had a great crowd for Fight for the Mind. Of course, the event that Shooter Storm had put together did a phenomenal job of promoting this event. I don't know what the final number was. I know the event can sit, the Messina Central High School gym can seat about 1,900. I know we didn't get 1,900. I think we got five to 700 people, I think, at the event. We'd have to do the final count on that. But it really was just an honor to be able to go out to ring announce. Keeping in mind, ladies and gentlemen, I have never been a ring announcer before. This was my first time, so a lot of pressure on me because I wanted to make sure, number one, I wanted to make sure I got all the pronunciations right. I wanted to make sure that I really wanted those wrestlers, when they came to the ring, I wanted their, it didn't matter if they were heel or face, I wanted their introductions to be something special, something that they would remember. So I took the time. I remember I was with Rage and Jackson Jarvis. And if you get a chance to, Jackson Jarvis has this curly mustache. Looks almost vaudevillian in a way. And Rage is like this Ryback-looking dude. And they put on a clinic. Those two guys did. They had a fantastic match. But to be able to, Jackson's, I was like, I'm the U.S. National Mustache Champion, I'm the professional, I'm this and this and this. And I literally had about half a page that I wrote down. And but I wanted to make sure that every wrestler got their time when they came into the ring. And after the event, after the main event, I went and I gave, and one of the things that you'll notice is I did not go into the ring and announce a winner. I announced the winner from ringside for the table. And I gave the microphone, I gave it to Shooter, and Tommy came up and just took the microphone away. After they had defeated the Barbarians in the street fight, Tommy Dreamer got the microphone and was telling everybody how great it was to be back in Messina. Of course, he had been there for TNA before in the WWE. And was very proud and very happy to be there. I'll never forget the expression on Shooter's face after Tommy went and snatched the mic from him. He looked at me and he said, "Hey, Tommy took my pipe bomb." And just the expression was so priceless. But after the event, I had the opportunity to go up and talk to Tommy for a few minutes and introduce him to my oldest boy, my youngest boy. My middle boy had already left with my wife at this point. And I told him, I once again thanked him for coming. I appreciated the opportunity, and I told him, this is my first time. Tommy was quite surprised. He couldn't believe that it was my first time ring announcing. And, I told him, I said, "Well, this is my, I appreciate that. It's my first time." And he told me a story about Justin Roberts, the SmackDown ring announcer, told me a great story involving him and how, ring announcing, Tommy said, was the second most important unappreciated job in professional wrestling. And it was so nice to have that praise from him. Sean and I have been messaging back and forth. Of course, he had a hell of a night. He was busted open in the main event. He had already gone in with a bad wheel, held on, and him and Tommy got the win. And the crowd was just unbelievable. Some fantastic matches. The Drake Evans, Garrett Holiday title match did not disappoint. I announced the match for a 60-minute time limit, and Drake looked at me just like he was going to kill me. And he said to the ref, he goes, 60 minutes? He said, he may want to go 60 minutes. He said, I'm not going 60 minutes. It was it was so funny. We had Hellraiser versus Jay Freddie, which was by far another one of the matches of the night. Fox Vineyard, what was supposed to be a three-way. This is what ended up happening later in the evening. We had Hellraiser after the intermission, and that was another thing. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much to tell you about this Fight for the Mind Alzheimer's event. I apologize. I know I'm kind of scattering around, but I want to really make sure that you get the full experience. And do go to In Your Face Wrestling, IYFWrestling.com, and check out the stream. I'm supposed to be streaming it again later this week.
See, I can tell just by the way you're talking that mm-hmm. you had a good time. Oh. I haven't heard you this excited in a long time. I can tell you're excited.
I meant what I said when I meant that post. I lived out a dream tonight. Now, originally what was supposed to happen is I was supposed to be refereeing. I was asked to special referee. The match I was going to get was the women's match. So we're going to have Stacy Thibault versus Eve the Black Widow. Stacy backed out. She couldn't make the event. Then what they decided to do was Eve was already booked. And keep in mind, every wrestler came down on their own dime. Not one wrestler got paid for this event. They all came down on their own dime. Okay? We have wrestlers from Rochester, from Canada, from all over the Northeast come to this event. Professional wrestlers, indie wrestlers come to this event. So we get to the point where we're at the intermission. Some of the wrestlers come out. Eve comes out. Oh, I'm sorry. I got on sidetrack with the special referee. So Shooter messages me and says, Stacy backed out, but you know what? We were going to have a young lady come in and do the ring announcing, but I think you would do a better job. Would you do it? And I was, I really didn't know what to think about that. I was really looking forward to referee, to be perfectly honest with you. But, you know, God is good. Things happen for a reason. Things fall into place for a reason. And although I was disappointed, I didn't want to let Shooter down. I didn't want to let In Your Face Wrestling down. I said, you know, I will do that job, and I will take it, and I will make it my own, and really put my spin on it. And it was great because it gave me the opportunity to do some old school announcing with time limits, time of the falls, call the matches, and really work an angle as an announcer that I felt that the way I feel announcing should be. And they gave me carte blanche. Shooter let me do what I wanted to do. I could Tony Schiavone it up if I wanted to, which I did. And I really had a fun time with it. So we ran the card. Now, during the intermission, the wrestlers came out. Eve came out. Mystified came out. Hellraiser came out. A lot of these guys came out and just were talking to the fans and getting pictures. And so I'm like, oh, you know, this is great, you know. And I was talking to my kids, and my wife had gone to get something to eat. And one of the kids came up and said, can I get my picture with you? I said, you want to have your picture taken with me? I said, yeah, I want to get that. Yeah, I'm like, okay. So the mom takes a picture with me and the youngster. And then somebody else wanted a picture. And I must have done maybe about a half dozen to a dozen pictures. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm nobody. I'm not a wrestler. I'm just the ring announcer. I had people coming up asking me for my autograph. I said, well, I'm the Power Andy Knowles. You mind if I sign? I said, I've got Pro Wrestling Rewind. I had a couple of kids. Probably some of them will be listening tonight for the first time. And I was just humbled, and I really am serious when I say this. I was truly humbled by the experience that people right now have on their phones pictures of me with their kids. And so, oh, he was at the wrestling. He was here. Here's little Jimmy with the ring announcer. Here's little Jimmy with Drake, the heavyweight champion, and to be grouped in that same group of talent was really humbling. Somebody said to my wife, who was at ringside, actually, you can hear her in one of the videos where I kind of looked down and I gave a smile, and somebody had come to my my son and said, you know, that's my dad. And so somebody leaned over to my wife and said, how long has he been with the company? And she said, he's not. This is, you know, this is the first time. And, you know, he offered to be the ring announcer for this man. But wow, he's absolutely fantastic. Now, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here. But to be given that kind of praise and to have these folks come up to you and ask you, I never realized before. It's different when you're on radio because there's an anonymity that goes with this medium that I always found soothing and therapeutic. And it really took a lot for me to kind of put myself out there in a public a forum where I actually had my picture up. And I did actually. My wife took a picture of me right in front of the ring. In behind me actually is Tommy Dreamer. They were doing photos at the event where you got to pay $10 or $15 and you take a picture with Tommy. And that was Tommy standing right behind me in that green sweater by the table. And it truly meant so much to have all the fans there. And it was announced this week that after the success of that event, Shooter came out this week and announced that there will be a Fight for the Mind 2 next year, and I have been confirmed. I have been confirmed for the event. So I guess I'm the first talent, I guess, that you can say that's been confirmed for that event next year.
I have to find out if Amtrak runs anywhere near there. Yeah, even if I have to stay in a hotel for a night, or maybe you have an extra room or something, but I'm definitely going to come next year. I mean, I'll find a way to get up there.
There was a guy that got a hold of Shooter from Brooklyn who wanted to know where Messina was because he wanted to meet Tommy Dreamer, wanted to see Tommy Dreamer. In all the years with ECW had never gone. And, of course, Shooter sold him tickets and said, you know, we're 8 hours up the road. And the guy came up. God bless him. So there was a lot of folks. It was great. A lot of folks from my day job were there. There was actually one of the tellers from the local bank was there. Our financial service consultant was there, which was really, you know, it was really nice to kind of have that support. And, so Eve the Black Widow she speaks English, but by her own admission, she doesn't understand it too terribly well. She understands it a little bit. And I speak French. I don't get to speak French a lot, but it was funny because where she was in the dressing room, she was beside me, you know, in the dressing room.
Oh, really?
Yes, she was. So I'm sitting there. I'm sitting there, and I'm working on my cards, and I'm trying to get everything for the event. And she was there, and just the most. Maurice could learn a thing or two from this woman. I'm telling you, just so gracious, so humble, and was just so nice. And I spoke to her in French, and she spoke to me in English, and it was great. Just such class. I can't, all the talent that was there. Who else? Mystify, the gentleman who played Mystify was all, you know, he was all concerned. Well, man, can I meet your kids? I'd love to meet your kids. And, you know, and they were just all so gracious. And I would go and I'd say, you know, this is, you know, cause this was this was Caleb. This was Power Red's first professional wrestling show. The first one he'd ever been to. And that's a great opportunity when you can sit front row and really get the opportunity to get the experience. And this wasn't a backyard show. This wasn't a garage show. This was a very well done indie show. We had a local guy who came in, Matt French, who did the national anthem, did a fantastic job on the guitar. We had Justin Berry who's the owner of the Adirondack Pro Wrestling Federation. He came up. He actually worked an angle. Now, here's the thing with Eve. Worked an angle with Eve where he came in. He actually got quite a good pop. And then went off, all of a sudden decided he was going to turn heel, went off on a tangent how people don't come to see women. Well, Eve the Black Widow took an exception to that and came out and basically eviscerated Justin Berry and ripped off his man card. the fans were so funny. They're like, she's going to kill you. It was like a Samoa Joe moment. You know, she's going to kill you. And Justin Berry, God bless him, he made a show of it. He made a good show of it for about 5 minutes, and then Eve basically killed him.
Oh, that's great. See, I like stuff like that. I like swerves like that. You know, that sounds cool. You know, it's funny. I've known you for so long. I didn't know you spoke French.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I lived in Quebec for many, many years.
Well, I mean, you know, people think of the United States. I mean, technically, you wouldn't know it, but we have, you know, only one national language, which about 30% of the population speaks. If you've ever been in a grocery store, you have English.
Exactly. You know,
Canada, there are two national languages. So, I mean, JJ even tells me every street sign, every advertisement has to be in English and French.
That's right. It has to be in English and in French. And I tend to run down because I had some bad experiences. I mean, I had some very good experiences when I lived in Quebec, but there's a lot more negative to positive. And Eve is a bright spot. And I also met a young man, Ray Steele, who's from Ontario. The guy is jacked. I'll tell you, just an absolutely phenomenal talent. Jay Freddy, like I said, Hellraiser, who was from Messina, who got a great pop. Man, I know the Rock City Wrecking Crew, the IndyCard Mafia. You know, these are guys. And another story too. After the event, after this was all said and done, In Your Face Wrestling, they basically their people came and their people tore down the ring afterwards and got everything squared away because they had to drive. They had to truck all the equipment back to Albany. So, I mean, they already had a three-and-a-half-hour ride ahead of them. And the show got done around 10:30, 11 o'clock. We were in the back. We were in the dressing room. And a poor Shooter was hurting. He was just kind of sitting down. And, you know, I said, you know, good job, man. I said, you know, great show. And, you know, he was hurting. I wanted to give him his space. And really, I wanted to give all the wrestlers their space, but at the end, I still wanted to, you know, thank them for, you know, for the opportunity, and everybody was just so gracious. So I took my kids. There is a McDonald's that literally is a stone's throw from where the venue was. And so I said, well, let's, you know, we'll go get some McDonald's. We'll go get it. Now, I'm still in my three-piece at this point. I'm like, out of heck with it. I'm not going to get changed. I'm already in my three-piece. To hell with it. I'll be the best dressed person at that McDonald's, but what the hell, I'll go anyway. And three of the wrestlers that were at the event came in, and I happened to joke, and I said, oh, it looks like we all had the same idea for dinner. And so we got to talking, and they were from Rochester, and I got, matter of fact, we're going to have a couple of them on the program here very shortly. I got the card of the one gentleman. I've got to get in contact with him, but you know what? They put on such a great show. I said, you know what? There were three of them. I said, guys, let me buy you dinner. Oh no, you don't have to do that. Oh yeah, you know because we really did. We appreciated the fact that these guys, they came from all over and they didn't get paid. So these guys came together. They drove up from Rochester, which is the better part of at least a 4-hour drive. From Messina to Rochester, about 4 hours. So let me buy you dinner. Okay, fine. So, you know, they got like some value meals, whatever. Well, I didn't realize this at the time, but one of them took off. Now, I had Little Power and Power Red with me, and they came back, and these guys went and grabbed my kids each a T-shirt and one of those little rubber band bracelets from their promotion. I'm like, guys, you didn't have to do it. No, it's the least we can do. You know, you're buying us dinner. They said they were driving back that night. And once again, just the classiest, the absolute classiest guys ever. Just the absolute classiest guys. And I can't say enough about the talent for this Fight for the Mind, this All-Stars. I really hope they all come back. Fox Vineyard is crazy. I think I may have pissed him off because I got his name wrong when he won, when he retained the New Breed Championship. I said Fox Vineyard. I forgot to say Firework Fox Vineyard. And it's Firework, not Fireworks. He was very particular about that. And he yelled at me to say it again. And I'm like, all right, I'll say it again. He's almost like Missing Link-esque in a way, if you can picture the Missing Link. Imagine the Missing Link, but with more hair.
Wow.
Okay, all right, just a great guy. But, man, we got to take a break. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more Fight for the Mind. We still got Payback we got to talk about and so much more. Do me a favor. Don't go anywhere. More on this post, Fight for the Mind. For Alzheimer's Research, Pro Wrestling Rewind will continue. Don't go anywhere. We're right here on the SNS and the PIB Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Okay, technically barbecue season is really months away, but why wait? Treat your meat with the best barbecue sauces and spicy snacks available from Evil Seed Sauces. The Evil Seed Sauce Company is your home for everything hot. Barbecue sauces, pepper jelly sauces, all things spicy. Try the Gods of Fire, made with the world's hottest pepper, the Carolina Reaper, along with sun-dried tomato, roasted red pepper, lime, and dill. Your meat's going to get all fired up just thinking about it. How about the Cirque du Noir, made with ghost pepper, onion, garlic? Treat your meat to the sauces that are redefining flavor with refined heat. The Evil Seed Sauce Company. Check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/evil. Seed Sauces, on Twitter at twitter.com/evilseedsauces, or just head right to their website, evilseedsauces.com. That's evilseedsauces.com. Live good, eat evil, evilseedsauces.com.
This is the all-nighter. This is the sexual intellectual. This is the largest man in professional wrestling. This is Shooter Storm, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Radio Network.
Back on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, your guiding light through the murkiness of bad storylines and poor creative decisions, the power. Andy Knowles back here with you. Fight for the Mind, the fallout from the big event. Fight for the Mind to benefit Alzheimer's Research. Man, I'll tell you, just an absolutely unbelievable event was, I ladies and gentlemen, I can't give it enough praise. What In Your Face Wrestling was able to bring to Messina. And I made a point on the event. I said, you know, people, because this was the first time In Your Face had been here. And I really wanted them to come back. I want a professional wrestling organization to run shows in St. Lawrence County, simply because it's a very underserved area. The WWE's not coming back here anymore after what happened in Ogdensburg, after what happened with that Bojo Buddy Will ripping off the money from the WWF, back then the WWE, going and taking that money and embezzling that money. Ever since all that nonsense went down, the WWE will not come back. TNA came up here, but we didn't exactly get the cream of the crop. They wouldn't even bring any championships up here. They brought the Knockouts champion here, but they wouldn't bring anybody else here. So we really need to depend on the independent wrestling promotions really to keep hope alive, if I may steal a phrase from the Reverend Jackson, to keep hope alive here for professional wrestling fans in upstate New York. And it really was just an absolute first-rate card top to bottom. There wasn't a bad match on the card. Everybody gave 110% of themselves. The talent, Tommy Dreamer, that match. The funny thing about the main event, the Vagabond came out and he brought the Barbarians to ringside. I don't know why. I don't know why the Vagabond was there, to be perfectly honest with you. I didn't even know that there was a connection with him and the Barbarians, but he came out and the referee was trying to maintain control. The Vagabond went and grabbed one of Shooter's legs. And so the referee was trying to get Vagabond out. Vagabond was like, it's no DQ. I can do whatever the hell I want. But the referee wasn't having any of it. He's like, you're getting out of here. It's going to be 2-on-2. I give Serge St. Denis and Dwayne S. and Brian Rubric all the credit in the world. That was another thing I wanted to do, and I wanted to make sure I announced the referees. And I was so nervous. I was so nervous, even though I had written it down. I couldn't find where I had written down. That's how nervous I was. I couldn't find where I had written down the names of the referees, so I like keep going over to the. You'll see me talking to the referee. It's like, man, I'm so sorry, I forgot your name. It's like, yeah, it's Serge St. Denis. Okay, man, I'm sorry. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. They must have thought I was absolutely crazy.
And they don't do that anymore.
No, and they should.
You know, come to think of it, when it was like boxing, they would announce who the referee for the. Even the WWF did it.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that I wanted to bring back. I announced the time of the fall. I was not only the ring announcer, but I was also the timekeeper, and I kept track of the time of the falls. And so when the match was over, I announced the time of the fall and the winner and how they won. All the matches ended clean. There wasn't one disqualification on the card. There were no countouts.
Did you get to ring the bell?
I got to ring the bell, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. I know that sounds like a stupid thing, but as a wrestling fan, that's something we've all wanted to do. Admit it.
I thought they were going to have a timekeeper. I thought my job was just going to be to ring announce. And they said, well, you're going to ring the bell. And I'm like, okay, I'll ring the bell. I don't have a problem with that. While I'm talking about this, EvilSeedSauces.com is the sponsors, this half hour sponsor, as always. Treat your meat to the greatest in sauces available. The finest sauces known to man, the Big Evil Bacon Barbecue, the Cirque du Noir, so much more. You like that hot cayenne pepper, that's what you need to check out. And if you like your bacon with a kick, there's nothing better than the Big Evil Bacon Barbecue. Do yourself a flavor, redefining flavor with refined heat. Check them out, evilseedsauces.com. So we were, so it would, the backstage workings of this event were unique, to say the least. Like I said, they had a doctor in the back who was checking blood pressure and making sure that guys would pass. If guys weren't passing, they weren't going. Well,
I didn't even know they still had an athletic commission for professional wrestling.
Oh, yeah. You cannot bleed in the state of New York, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot bleed unless you're booked. If there is a match that may constitute blood, then you may bleed. But if you are in a regular one-on-one or tag team event where the booking may not allow for blood, you cannot bleed.
What if you're hard way? What do they do then?
Well, that's a whole different story. But right. The commission can shut you down. The New York State Athletic Commission can shut the show down. Can shut the match down. They can do. Oh, it was funny talking to Drake Evans. It was funny hearing some of the things. They would go to some events where the commission would be there, and they would book a match that could potentially, you know, where there could potentially be blood, and like a cage match or whatever, and then the commission would be all up in the promotion's face about it. And it would be the same guy from like a year ago and be like, well, you let us do this thing last year. Oh, well, how must not have been me. Yeah, it was you. And it's just funny how the State Athletic Commission, they in one ear and out the other, the rules seem to always change and nobody knows what those are. But we didn't have a problem with the commission. But during the event, we had and I'm not going to say who it was, but we had a professional wrestler who wasn't passing their physical. And so it required a change on the fly in the card. Now, originally it was going to be a three-way dance for the In Your Face Wrestling New Breed Championship. Fox Vineyard, the champion. So the booker for that event, who came up to me and said, "We're going to make a change. We're changing on the fly. This is what we're going to do." So here I am with my cards. I'm like frantically scratching and changing things around. And then he came back and he said, nope, we're going back. We're doing it the other way. And then he came back to me during that same match and he said, okay, we got to stretch this out. We may go back to the original plan. Anyway, it was funny. It was nerve wracking because you didn't know after the intermission, you didn't really know what was happening. They had to change the order of the matches. And it was just, it was just interesting how these things unfold. And I can just imagine what happens in the back in the WWE. I can just imagine what happens at TNA or some of these other shows when you run into this problem and you got to book on the fly. You can't stop the match or you can't stop the show for a match. You still got to go. And if you're the ring announcer, you've got to make it look like everything is seamless and everything is happening the way it's supposed to happen. So it was interesting. We got all the matches off. No problem at all. I can't say enough as to how great this event was.
I just started smiling when you said that because I think of WCW when they went on at 8 p.m. and Hulk Hogan shows up at 7:15, looks at the script for the entire show and says, "Doesn't work for me, brother." And he's got creative control. So legally, the company has to change things on the fly. But in a way, it's good. I know for these athletic commissions, it's probably all about the money. But I think it's good that they make sure that, you know, no one's going to get in the ring who can't perform or may get themselves sick. I mean, that's a good thing in a way that they make sure these guys are healthy.
Absolutely. And it was great to see, the doctors and they weren't going to let anybody go. If you didn't pass, you didn't go. And that was there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
And what was up with that elbow? I mean, I saw a shooter. But he posted it on his Facebook page. I don't remember if it was a still or the whole video where he did that freaking elbow drop.
Oh, that was sick. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand, he tore a muscle weeks before this event, was urged not to participate. He had his arm taped up. Now, I had seen him before the event. Actually, him and I, I saw him one day, went and got something to eat. We were talking about the event. And, he said, his arm's like, yeah, you know, it's better. It'll be okay. But you could tell he was in. He had all that purple, that Tyrex stuff, whatever it's called, that immobilizer tape on, just to kind of keep everything together. But he painted such a bullseye on him for the barbarians to go after, and they went after him. You got to understand, there was no heel heat here with the barbarians, although they play fantastic heels. This was about the Alzheimer's. This was about the fight for the mind. This was four guys letting it all loose, going out for the cause. That's what it was. There were some heel face storylines, but this was about the Alzheimer's event. We had a silent auction. We came out and Shooter's sister came out and we drew, for the 50-50. There was a fan. Oh, this was so cute. We had two drawings. One was for the 50-50. We had another raffle for the opportunity. Whoever won, they would get to take their youngster in the back and meet all the talent in the backstage area. And this couple won, and they had this little blonde-haired little girl. And it was just the cute. Her eyes just lit up. It was, you couldn't have written a better story about the winner of the opportunity to go in the back in the dressing room. It was just so fantastic, and all the talent, they were so great. And she was on top of the world. She'll have a story. Drake Evans came out. He brought the championship belt out, and you know, let her hold on to it. And it was, oh, it was just so great. I cannot wait. I am looking forward to In Your Face Wrestling's Fight for the Mind 2 to see, you know, how they go and how they top this. I can't wait.
Yeah, sounds like it was great. I mean, I really felt bad for Shooter. You know, what a lot of people don't understand is, and it's true, because I've gotten hurt before when I was in the middle of doing something, and adrenaline is a natural painkiller. So you're in there, your heart's racing, you're wrestling, you know, you're getting busted open. The worst part is when the match is over and when you finally get to sit down, that's when you feel it, man. That's when you feel that pain.
Oh,
and,
that's,
you
know, when you're dying. That's. Yeah.
You know, and not only did Shooter have the bad shoulder, but he got busted open pretty good too.
Oh yeah, he got popped. He got popped really, really good. And he's wrestling. He's going this upcoming weekend at the Duanesburg YMCA. They're going to have an event where he's going. And he's out of his mind. He just got done wrestling the match of his life, and he's going to this event in Duanesburg for In Your Face Wrestling, the Back on Our Way event, which is going to be at the Duanesburg YMCA, which was formerly the Duanesburg Area Community Center. And if you are down in Delanson, it's down on 221 Victoria Drive. Drake Evans gets Bobby Ocean, Drake Evans, the In Your Face Wrestling Championship, 1 week removed from defending against Garrett Holiday in that great Rocky style event. Garrett getting his opportunity. Drake will face the champion will face Bobby Ocean. The tag team titles are on the line. Chip Stetson, who was at the event, Hellcat. The defending champions take on the IndyCard Mafia. Coming out of the great event, of course, that we just had happen last week, Fox Vineyard to defend against Dewey Murray. Dewey Murray is another talent that was at Messina, who had another great match. Len Oddity taking on Trip, LaDiva versus Toxus. I mean, it's going to be great. And then after that, they have the Coronation Cup, which is going to be happening on Saturday, June 11th, also at the Duanesburg YMCA. And you can pre-order your tickets right online. And go to IYFWrestling.com and check them out. I cannot wait to see that video again, see that stream of that. Now, they're supposed to be selling DVDs, I guess, on that. And when that comes up, I would like to see all the proceeds of the DVDs go to Alzheimer's as well. We were hoping, before we came to air tonight, we were hoping that we would have the final number, the final tally for the event. I reached out to Shooter. We weren't able to connect today, but I promise once I get that dollar amount, we will get that to you.
You know, it's funny how everybody says, you know, Vince McMahon and WWE, when Vince went global, he killed the territories, but that's not exactly true. You know,
no.
I'd love to find a way to start a small website, like just a database website, where you could type in your town. And find out what small promotion wrestles there, when. You know, it would have to be a thing where all these little promotions can register on this website. So people, because I think there are a lot of people out there who don't know that these local promotions still exist. They're still out there. And it would be great to have a database somewhere where you could say, okay, I'm in wherever, Kentucky. Oh, well, you're in wherever, Kentucky? Okay. There's this organization, Kentucky Wrestling Federation, and they're here, you know, 10 times a year. It'd be great to be able to get this information out to people so they can support these events and know that they, you know, not everyone can advertise the way Shooter did. I mean, he broke his back advertising this.
Let me say something about Shooter here. I don't need to go and dote on how great Shooter is. I'm very fortunate. I'll come out here and I'll say this. I'm very fortunate to have gotten to know Shooter Storm, and I consider him a friend. And I told him, I said, anything you need, I'm there for you. Because, you know, he's getting to live a dream that so many will never achieve. He's getting the opportunity to live the dream that so many wish they could. and him giving me the opportunity to go and ring announce, I will forever be grateful. But this man would get up in the morning, and he would go, and he would flyer the hell out of a town and flyer an event. And he would go and he would sell tickets, and people would call him, call the ticket line. He would go out to there, to where they were, and deliver tickets. And then he was selling tickets even on the day of the event. On the day of the event, somebody got a hold of him and he said, is it too late to get tickets? No, we're here. Well, can I stop by? Yeah, come on up and stop by and I'll get you some tickets. He was selling tickets. He was running. Now, granted, he's hours away from a tag team match, from a street fight, and he is out selling tickets for the event not even hours before. That's how great Shooter Storm is. That's how great the promotion is. He went out, and he single-handedly, now granted, he had ticket outlets. In Your Face Wrestling was offering them. He had outlets around town that were selling the general admission tickets, so there were places you could go. But he went out, and he wanted to make sure that anybody that wanted to get to this show would have the opportunity to get to this show. That's how serious he took it, because he knew this was for his mom. This was for Alzheimer's. You know, there were other people that were also touched by this. There were other talent that were at this event. The guy who played the Wet Assassin, one of the guys from Rochester who I bought dinner for, had a family member that suffered from Alzheimer's. My wife's grandmother suffered from Alzheimer's. There were people on this card that had personal attachments to this, that had very personal stories about Alzheimer's. And the fact that, you know, and kudos to In Your Face Wrestling. I mean, In Your Face Wrestling brought the ring up from Albany, the 3.5-hour drive, or however long it was. They came up on their own dime to go ahead and do this. And kudos to Drake Evans and the promotion to come up and do this. I mean, there's so many people to praise. You know, you say what you will about a lot of the other promotions, you know, that are out there, but the ones that go, it's community service. And they're going out and they're fighting, you know, they're going out and they're entertaining, and in this case, in this event, they did it on their own dime. They had people. Eve drove down from Quebec. You had Ray Steele, I believe, came from Toronto. The boys that came from Rochester, there were guys that drove literally hours, and they went home that night. They didn't stay the night. They weren't put up in some fancy hotel somewhere. A lot of them had to drive home. They came to the show. They got done at 11. They were lucky if they got home at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. All for Alzheimer's. All for Shooter. All for In Your Face Wrestling. And kudos to them. I'll tell you right now, I've got more respect for every single performer that was on that card Saturday night. I friended a few of them already on Facebook. And I'll tell you right now, I will, any single one of them, I don't care who it is, any single one of them, if they want to be on the Rewind, even though I only interview champions, as far as I'm concerned, any single one of them, they can come on this show. I'll give them whatever time they want to promote whatever the hell they want, simply because they took time out of their own life and came on their own dime to this event up in Messina for In Your Face Wrestling and the Fight for the Mind to go and entertain for goose egg, zero, nothing. And I'll even throw Tommy Dreamer in that too. If we were to ever get Tommy Dreamer on the pro, which I'm sure we could do. I'm sure I could go to Shooter. I could go to Shooter right now. That was another thing, you know. I didn't really want to bother. I was hoping to get a liner from Tommy. I could tell he was tired after the event. I wasn't going to bother him. The fact that he was willing to talk to me for a good 5-10 minutes and tell me a couple of stories about ring announcing and give me some praise, that was enough for me. But, you know, if I'm sure I could go to Shooter and say, Shooter, we'd like to have Tommy on the show, and I'm sure Shooter would do it, and Tommy Dreamer would come on the Rewind. I'm sure in a heartbeat, but I'm not going to work that angle. That's not the kind of person I am. But it doesn't matter if it's Hellraiser, if it's Ray Steele, if it's Eve, if it's Wet Assassin, if it's Jackson Jarvis, if it's Dewey, if it's Fox, if it's any of them, it doesn't matter. It could be a big Irish Liam McFerrin, Sebastian Kelly, Basket. I don't care who it is. Any single one of those guys have an open invitation to come on the Pro Wrestling Rewind anytime they want, promote anything they want to do, any event, they've got that open invitation.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that, you know, the wrestling still works this way in a lot of places. You know, it's long driving. It goes to show, too. You know,
give me just a second. If you go ahead and continue. I'm sorry. Give me just a second. Go ahead.
Sometimes, you know, you may want to donate to a cause and you may not have enough money, but there are other things you can do. You know, you can volunteer. You know, that works. You volunteer, you're still helping out. So it's cool that they did it. You know, I've said a million times, my grandmother has Alzheimer's. She's going through it. So, you know, anything that can help. And like you said, these guys didn't even get to stay in a hotel. It's like, hey, man, I drove 4 hours here. I'm going to wrestle. I'd like to at least just, you know, go to bed, spend the night, you know, whatever. But no, a lot of them, like you said, drove back.
I don't even think Shooter stayed in Messina that night. He lives in Malone, which was 35, 40 minutes away. I think he ended up heading home that night. I'll have to double check. But a lot of these guys, you know, I'm sure Eve didn't stick around. I'm sure she drove back to Quebec. You know, I know Hellraiser is from Messina, so I mean, he had an easy night. He probably had next to me. He probably had the second easiest commute coming out of the event. And really, it says, you know, for all the crap that goes on in professional wrestling, and we haven't even talked about, we talked about China, but I mean, you know, for all the crap that goes on in this industry, for all the crap that goes on in this sport, you know, it is just so good to see these guys coming out, supporting a great cause, and it really restores my faith. This event really helped restore my faith in professional wrestling and professional wrestlers, and for a lot of the negatives that we've seen in the WWE, and unfortunately we're going to talk about some of the negatives in the next segment because there's quite a few negatives going on right now that need to be addressed.
You mean like Raw?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to that was one of the most boring Raws, I think, this past Monday.
That's what JJ said. I didn't think it was terrible.
Oh,
but
it sucked.
I could see how you could interpret it as boring, yeah.
It was terrible. It was by far one of the worst Raws I can remember sitting through, and we haven't got I'll have to go and check the final numbers here on the break, but Fight for the Mind, Shooter Storm, congratulations. You did a fantastic job. It was my honor to be the ring announcer, and if I am asked to be the ring announcer next year, I will absolutely be honored and with all humility, all humbleness to go out and do it again. When we come back, we have, hard to believe, we got another pay-per-view right around the corner, WWE Payback. God, it just seems like we just got out of Mania. WWE Payback just around the corner. We're going to break down the matches, what we hope to see. Of course, we just got off one of the most boring Raws on the face of the planet. A lot to talk about, so... Yeah, I'm serious. I'm true. A lot to talk about, so don't go anywhere. It's the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS and the PIB Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
You know, hard to believe, but it actually snowed here in upstate New York the other day. But I am undaunted. I am certain that summer is just around the corner, and I got my barbecue ready to go. And when my barbecue is ready to go, I have two things. Well, I have my stainless steel... My implements of destruction, all right, my barbecue utensils, and I also have my case of Big Evil sauce, barbecue sauces. I have my Big Evil Bacon Barbecue. I've got my Cirque du Noir. I've got everything. So I go through and I tell, okay, well, what do I feel like having on my steak this evening? I go and I pick out what I'm feeling. And if I don't know, then what I do is I get on Facebook and I message Pat or I'll message Karen and I'll say, hey, I've got a strip steak. Okay. What should I put on the strip? What would make the strips good? Or I've got a porterhouse. What's going to be good on the porterhouse? Or, you know what? I'm doing chicken. Or, you know, I got salmon. Do you have something for salmon? They can set you up for any type of meat. And they generally respond inside of a couple hours, not long at all. So go ahead. Check them out on Facebook. Evil Seed Sauces. Put that in the search bar. They're right there. You can't miss them. Go to evilseedsauces.com. They are on the Twitter box, Evil Seed Sauces. Don't forget to check them out there, too. And if you are in Florida, if you're in the Jacksonville area, of course, you can head on over to your local Winn-Dixie. Get all your Evil Seed Sauce goodness there. Redefining flavor with refined heat. It's evilseedsauces.com.
This is Drake Evans, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Network.
The in-your-face wrestling heavyweight champion, Drake Evans. Another class act, Pro Wrestling Rewind, back on the SNS Radio PIB Network. Thank you so much for joining us wherever you happen to be joining us from tonight. The Power, Andy Knowles, along with Tony Mirabella here. Final half hour of the program. Raw, the lowest rated in quite some time, was by far one of the most boring Raws I can remember. With your Raw report, here's Tony Mirabella.
Well, this comes from WrestlingInc.com, WrestlingInc.com.
Yeah, when I need pen ink, I go to Wrestling Inc., but go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's a general story. It's noted that Monday Night Raw drew 3.128 million viewers down last week's.
Oh, hang on a second. Hold on. Go ahead.
Down from last week's 3.335 million viewers for the tape show from London. The final rating for the show was a 2.20.
Wait. Hang on.
Alrighty then.
Go ahead.
Down from last week's 2.32 rating. This is the lowest rating of the year. Going back to December 7th's 2.15 rating and the lowest rating for a non-holiday Raw in more than 19 years. Regarding the drop in viewership, this was also the least viewed show going back to that same December 7th episode. Now, what's funny on this site is just real quick, I want to read a few of these comments from some of the people who frequent this site. One guy says, Roman kills ratings. Someone else said, just wondering who was in the main event. I believe it was Reigns, the golden boy. Maybe having a champion who people so vocally reject isn't the right move. I wouldn't have had a problem with Sheamus, except it happened at the most boring and predictable pay-per-view of the year. So, I had to read some of the comments.
Oh,
I
mean, but this was my reaction when I heard that it was going to be Alberto Del Rio and Roman Reigns in the main event of Raw.
Yay.
That was really my reaction. Now, Vince McMahon really has a hard time understanding that people have a problem with Roman Reigns.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's, ladies and gentlemen, at some point the neurons have got to connect in Vince McMahon's brain and figure that Roman Reigns just is not the guy.
Oh my God, you're not going to believe this. The Miz has now been named to star in the third installment of the WWE films The Marine.
I would rather have The Miz in The Marine main event. All right? I'd rather have Captain Irrelevant in the main event.
Yeah.
I would have much rather had Maryse, who looks like she's gained about 40 pounds. You notice that? Did you see that segment with Mr. and Mrs. Irrelevant? Did you see that segment with them?
I support another 40 pounds. It's fine.
And Cesaro comes out and basically he practically strips Mrs. Man card from him. Okay, not that Maryse doesn't do that every night, but.
Oh,
God bless her. I'm telling you, God bless her. The Lord's been good to her. What, gained about 40 pounds. That's fantastic. Good to see.
You're going to hell.
I'm not. What do you mean I'm going to hell? I'm telling you, she gained a good. Look, it's the truth. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. The fact of the matter is, I mean, yeah, okay, she looks good. All right, she's looked better. She's, you know, she's not exactly, I would even go so far to say she's not as hot as what she used to be. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. No, stop. Stop. No, stop. No, I stop. I can't take all the credit for it. I'm, you know, it's amazing what some Canadian candy bars will do for you. But serious, that I would have much rather, they could have ended that show with that segment with Miz and Cesaro and gotten a better pop than with what they had with this nonsense with Roman Reigns and the former United States champion.
Listen, I'm 38. At this point, I'm lucky if I can get a human.
Yep, this one's breathing.
40 pounds isn't going to, she still looks good. I mean, but I just, you know, I don't know, this whole Cesaro Miz thing. I mean, Jeff and I talked about this on Unplugged, and we were talking about who may go over this Sunday. Jeff and I disagree quite a bit on our picks, which is good. It's a good thing when we disagree because it means that we have difference of opinion and it makes the show interesting. But I don't know, man. I keep hearing Vince is high on Cesaro, but he just came back. So I don't know what you do Sunday. I'd mark out if Cesaro won the belt, but we'll have to see.
I don't understand why Captain Irrelevant has this championship right now. I don't know whose anatomy got stroked to allow him to hold on to this championship. I'm still upset over the fact they could have had a run with the woo-woo man. All right, they could have had a run with him. WrestleMania moment notwithstanding, they could have given him a good 3 months with this belt and probably done more and gotten a bigger ratings pop right now. Remember when Triple H was the champion? When Triple H was the champion and you had John Cena as your U.S. champion, and who was the Intercontinental champion at the time?
Was it Owens?
What's that?
It wasn't Owens yet, was it?
No, it wasn't Owens. Who did? Oh, God.
Oh, God. Who had the belt before Owens?
This is how terrible WWE's programming has become. I can't even remember who had the belt before he did. Go back and check on that.
I'll try to check on that.
But you had, I mean, there was a time when, come on. How am I forgetting this? How am I forgetting who had the Intercontinental Championship before Kevin Owens? Obviously, it wasn't that great a title reign.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank, too.
All right, we're going to go. We'll go and check that. Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves for a second while we check that out. Go ahead, T.
Yeah, I'm looking it up, too. I mean, it just goes to show that, you know, I don't know. You know, these titles, it really, I liked when Cena had the U.S. belt. Because when Cena had the U.S. belt, every week he was defending it. He was making it important. It was hell. He almost made the U.S. belt into the TV title because he was defending it every single week. And I thought that was cool. And now with the IC title, I don't know. I mean, I would have no problem with Cesaro winning the belt. We talked about it last night where JJ thought maybe it was a bit too soon to put it on Cesaro, maybe let The Miz run for a while. But people have to remember, and I think it's a downgrade, The Miz was a former WWE title holder. And by the way, it was Dean Ambrose before Kevin Owens, and then Kevin Owens had it before Dean Ambrose. So Owens had it. Ambrose won it on December 13, 2015. Kevin Owens won it back February 15th, 2016. Zack Ryder, of course, April 3rd at WrestleMania. And then The Miz at April 4th. So we also had Daniel Bryan on March 29, 2015. And then that's when he got hurt. In fact, he vacated it on May 11, 2015.
Okay, so I was thinking Ryback. Back when we had Ryback as the U.S. champion. Or it didn't matter, Dean Ambrose, and we had as the Intercontinental Champion. And then you had John Cena running concurrently as the U.S. Champion during these reigns. And you were more excited for the secondary championships than you were the fact that Triple H was holding the WWE championship. That's kind of what's happening right now. Is now we see we got Kalisto. Holy Jesus. Who the hell would have thought that this kid would have held on to the US title this long? How is it that this guy is still the U.S.? This kid's for real. This kid is absolutely for real. You want to talk about that? Here's what, look, let's face it right now. WWE booking sucks. Let's put it on the table right now. It absolutely sucks. The only thing right now that WWE has going for it is a reasonably decent tag team division and some of these new NXT guys, these minor league guys that are coming. Oh, by the way, Samoa Joe. Congratulations to him. Yes. Give him a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Samoa, there we go. Samoa Joe, ladies and gentlemen. Samoa Joe. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. Samoa Joe is now the new Junior League, WWE Junior League champion. Not knocking off Finn at a house show. This is what we have to look forward to.
Oh, this is going to air, I believe. Is it tonight? Tonight, I believe, NXT. They are going to show that match.
You know, these are the things. You know what? The tag team division, they've got a tag team tournament going on. We've got the Vaudevillains or Vaudevillians or whatever. The guys that are going to party like it's 1899 if they win this thing, who I don't have a problem with. They're the champions. And you've got my new favorite tag team. Of Enzo Amore and Big Cat. This is my new favorite tag team. These are the guys I want to see beat the Bronies for the tag team championship because I think these guys could carry the belts and be very credible tag team champions.
See, I don't think they'll do that, though. See, the more I think about it, I don't think Enzo and Cash are going to get a chance at those titles until heels have them because I don't think they want the fans.
They've got heels. They've got heels holding the belts right now. They've got heels. You've got heels walking around right now with the goddamn belts. They're trying to snow everybody. You, me, God, and everybody else. Thinking that, oh, just because we're doing our little skip dance and we're gyrating our hips with our championship belts like 70s porn stars, that all of a sudden everybody's going to start. You're not fooling everybody. You're sure as hell not fooling me. It's no different than the freaking Matt Hardy EC3 thing. As far as EC3 deserved what he got, the Bronies deserve what they're going to get. I don't give a rat's ass who they've got, who they think they're going to put into this match. But the fact of the matter is, the Bronies don't deserve those belts. They should have lost those belts a long time ago. These are the guys, my boys, Enzo and Cass. These are my boys right here who are going to walk in and lay a whoop-ass on the Bronies and take the belt. That's who I want. Their face is right. What the hell? Because you got... Take the trombone, they can shove it up his ass, as far as I'm concerned. They can take them horns, and they can take them goddamn unicorn horns that look like they came off one of my daughter's My Little Pony dolls, and bloody well go and shove those up their asses. They probably would enjoy that too much, but that's beside the point. The fact of the matter is, the new day, the My Little Bronies are perpetrating one of the greatest frauds in professional wrestling next to EC3. You're not buying it. If you are the intelligent professional wrestling fan that I know you are listening to this program, you are not buying it. You are not fooled by it. You don't want the Bronies as champions. Get Cass and get Enzo in there. How you doing? You get them in there. Let them run with the belts because you can't teach that. How you doing? This is what you've got to do. You've got to get the belts off these guys. You have to. This is the greatest fraud perpetrated in tag team wrestling. And the sheep out there, the low-information pro wrestling fan, has fallen for it. How can you sit there and justify this? There is no justification for this at all. None. Zip. Zero. Zilch. Absolutely. It is without a doubt. I mean what I'm saying. It is the absolute greatest fraud that has been perpetrated on professional wrestling fans in an absolute long time. Since I can't even remember how long.
Oh, right.
Oh, Miami! Don't you dare be sour! Your two-time champs and feel the power.
There you go.
And plus, I never gave him consent to use the power. I should be getting on the phone with my lawyer suing their sorry asses. I never gave them consent. That is trademark, brother. You don't get to use the power without my consent. All right? You don't get to use it. Absolutely. Nobody believes this nonsense. Enzo, Cass, the new tag team champions.
I don't know. I kind of think I'm going to agree with you, but I'll also say there's a good chance the Vaudevillians are going to take this tournament.
They can take the tournament, and they can take the titles, and they can send the bronies back to Ponyville, man. They can go back.
I can't believe the heat that these guys have with you. I'm amazed.
What the hell? You have three of them defending two belts. I was never a fan of the Freebird rule. With all due respect to the fabulous Freebirds, that is the absolute dumbest tag team rule in wrestling. Oh, anybody can defend a belt. No, the guy who won the belt is the guy that defends the belt. The two guys that won the belt are the two guys that go out and defend the belt, not the third guy. Demolition tried pulling this nonsense. I was down on it then. Any single one, they did the thing with Canyon and Diamond Dallas Page and Bam Bam Bigelow, the triad. They tried pulling this nonsense. I'm sorry, but if you're the tag team champions, if there are two of you, all right, the British Bulldogs didn't go and put one of the belts on Matilda and say, there you go, boy, go out and defend the title.
But Xavier doesn't wrestle.
It doesn't matter. They don't wear the goddamn belt because you don't deserve it. Don't go and wear the title trophy because it ain't yours. You didn't win it. Don't wear it. Don't insult my intelligence and come out and say, well, I'm one of the tag. We're the tag team champion. Jesus Christ. Who the hell are you trying to fool? Who are you trying to kid? You're not. Go back. Go. You want to go gyrate like a 70s porn star. Go out to freaking California somewhere. Get down to Silicon Valley. Find yourself a nice porn star. Go knock yourself out. You want to go play to Ponyville? Go over to Hasbro. Go make yourself a My Little Pony doll. Go play My Little Ponies. All right, you can be the three My Little Bronies. I'm sure they'll come. Hasbro will come up with a nice little doll for you. You can go and provide the voices for that. Oh, speaking of voices, speaking of things that have my attention, I cannot wait for this Camp WWE. I am going to stay up after Payback and watch this. This looks, I just can't wait. This looks hysterically funny. Did you see the trailer? That was it TMZ? I can't remember who had it. They did a trailer with some of the characters from Camp WWE, and this is the same. These are the same folks that brought you Family Guy that are doing this show.
Really?
Yes.
So was McFarlane involved in this?
No, not McFarlane. Seth. I'm sorry, not Family Guy. Robot Chicken. Seth. What's his nuts?
Seth Green.
Seth Green, yeah. Seth what's his nuts. He's going to be coming.
He does the voice of Chris on Family Guy.
Yeah. So that's where I got the Family Guy connection. But Seth Green is one of the creative minds behind this Camp WWE thing.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, my God, yes. Now, you've got Vince McMahon, who's going to be playing his voice. Triple H plays. They've got a Triple H and a Stephanie character, but those two don't do the voice. Triple H plays the voice of a character named Quadruple H, who is Triple H's dad. Sergeant Slaughter plays himself.
Quadruple H.
Quadruple H. Everybody calls him Quad. And Ric Flair is one of the camp counselors. So Flair, Slaughter, McMahon, and Triple H are some of the voices. And all the other voices, they've got the Bellas. John Cena, they've got a Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, The Undertaker, Big Show, and they're all kids. Ric Flair plays himself, Slaughter plays himself, McMahon plays himself, and like I said, Triple H plays Triple H's father, Quadruple H. And it's all about this experience at Camp WWE. And this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is not for the kids. This is for adults, but like one of the lines that just struck me funny. Undertaker is talking to Triple H, or no, is talking to Big Show about something going on at camp, and Big Show goes, "Man, I hope they don't close this camp. I don't want to go back to that Jewish camp." I just I don't know where they're coming up with this stuff.
That's a little.
I'm just saying. Absolutely, it was just like, whoa. But it was just.
Well, if you've ever watched, or I'll give you guys a sneak peek.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows, which again is also for adults only, and it was done in like this claymation style type things. They would actually take action figures and animate them. If you want to know what Seth Green is about, check out Robot Chicken.
Oh yeah, this isn't going to be anywhere near like Robot Chicken, but I guess there's going to be like Stone Cold Steve Austin, the little kid who does Stone Cold, is like flipping everybody off, and one of the bells goes, "Who are you flipping off?" And so Stone Cold's like, "Oh, I've got some FU disease or some." I'm not doing it justice, but do yourself a favor. Check out this Camp WWE. This is one of the few programs that the WWE has done next to Slam City. Slam City was cute, but I really think that this Camp WWE, I think, is going to take off.
Well, one good thing about the network is, and I love the fact that they do this, they will post replays like minutes after something goes off the air where you can get it on demand.
Yeah.
And I love that. So if you can't stay up and you miss it, you'll be able the next day to be able to watch it on demand. That's one thing I like about the network.
Oh yeah. And some of the original programming, like the Swerved and the Ride Along.
I heard they got rid of that because a lot of the wrestlers were getting pissed off about, you know, being joked on.
Yeah, but now they're going in, they're joking on other people now. Like Big Show dressed up, Big Show got himself all in gold body paint and went to a Hall of Fame, but went to something, some WWE display, and was freaking out all the fans because he was like a statue. People say, "Oh, that's a life-size statue of the Big Show," and then the statue would come to life, and he was freaking everybody out. It was funny.
Yeah, the Edge and Christian show, that was pretty good, too. It started off rough, but they've gotten better.
Yeah, I haven't. I watched those first couple episodes, and it kind of turned me off. I really should give it another chance.
They're better. Give it another chance. The last few have been a lot better, and they're pretty adult orientated. See, I think on the network they can get away with doing some PG-13 stuff because it's their network.
Do you have that? We're running out of time. I don't know if we'll be able to get it, but if you can pull that video, I don't know if it was from TMZ or where it was from. Bleacher Report actually had it. Bleacher Report had the link to that video for the WWE. And like I said, you're not going to hear it. John Cena's not going to do his voice. The Bellas aren't doing theirs. The Rock isn't doing his. Stone Cold Steve Austin's not doing it. They're kids that are doing these voices. Okay? The guy doing Triple H is kind of funny. The guy that's Triple H goes and grabs Vince McMahon's arm, and Vince McMahon tells him, "You know, get off me, Triple H." And Triple H is like, "Yes, master." And I just died laughing. Yes, master, because that's exactly what it's like in real life. He goes to Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon tells him to go, "Yes, master." That's exactly what it is. It's art imitating life.
Well, it is. They say right here, it's an adult-orientated cartoon. Let me see if this is it right here.
Hit it.
Here we go, folks.
Hit it.
WWE, the single greatest outdoor adventure of a lifetime. Wonderland of the Nut Talking Asshole.
Woo! Come with me. I'll show you how much fun you can have.
I want to go home.
Woo! Woo!
A bra? I can't wear this, probably.
Treat this boy special.
Woo!
Where's Austin?
He's alive, motherfucker!
Fine. You win.
Yeah, that
a bra. I can't wear this. Probably.
Probably, yeah. I'm actually kind of surprised that it looks like they're gonna go pretty. You know, they're doing like Family Guy does. They're bleeping out the F bombs and stuff like that. But yeah. You know what they're saying.
Oh, you know. But I mean, on the net, they may not. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But Stone Cold Steve Austin, he's sticking up his two middle fingers, and they've got the two WWE logos on his middle fingers.
Because the latter Family Guy DVDs, they removed the bleeps.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was funny to hear Stewie actually using the F word. It was
well, it's like when you watch Ted for the first time. And the first time, I swear to God, I have never laughed so hard in my life as when I watched Ted. And that was, I was having a really down time. I was really in a bad place when I saw that movie. And that movie picked me up so much so that I will not watch it. I will only watch Ted when I absolutely need a good pick-me-up. And I think this Camp WWE is going to be one of those kind of shows where if you're really having a bad go of it and you really need a good laugh, this will be the go-to program. I really hope it's that way, because it seems to me the way they've got it, I'm just curious how they work the Bellas in, and the John Cena is the clean, wholesome, character, and The Rock is walking around with an eyebrow, with a raised eyebrow, and Stone Cold is effing this, effing that. Big Show looks like this big, giant, lovable loser. Undertaker's got this goth thing going on. It's just, oh man, I hope they add more characters to it too, but I would be interested to see how this turns out, how it goes.
Well, yeah, they'll probably base it off ratings. I mean, they probably have it a completely different way. It's hits, not ratings, how many people watch it. But the animation style, obviously, it's hard to describe it over radio. But it is. Andy's right. And I can see where you can get it kind of mixed up. It is very, Family Guy-esque, the animation.
It is. Absolutely, it is. Hey, we've got 4 minutes and 45 seconds to do picks. So okay. You want to run through these matches real quick, and then we got to get out of here.
Oh, I have to bring up the matches. It's crazy how hard sometimes it can be to find the actual pay-per-view card on the internet, but I will look for that. I can do a few off the top of my head. We've got let's start off with this. We've got, and we talked about it already, we've got The Miz versus Cesaro. As I said before, Vince is high on Cesaro. I've heard he's going to get a push, so I'm hoping, even though it may be too soon, that Cesaro gets the title.
I'm gonna root for Cesaro beating Captain Irrelevant on that.
All right, so we agree on that one. That's good. That's one.
Charlotte and Natty Neidhart for the WWE Women's Championship. A must-win for Natty. She's got, with Bret Hart in the corner, she's got to take the belt this match, or she may not get an opportunity. I'm going for Natty in the win.
Well, Natty's also going to have Bret Hart in her corner.
I just said that.
So he may be able to counteract Ric Flair.
What else we got?
We got Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler.
I don't care. Next.
You don't care.
No. But Baron's going to win. That's versus Leo. I think Ryback goes over in this one. I don't think Kalisto gets the win on this one. I think they let him beat Ryback at Mania, so it sets up this match, and then eventually we'll set up a third match.
I don't know. I think they want Kalisto to be the next Rey Mysterio, so I'm going to go with Kalisto.
Oh, we got breaking news. We're going to have to let it real quick. You got one more pick. I got breaking news on China.
Oh, really? Let's do the main event real quick then. We'll do Roman Reigns versus AJ Styles. I'm going to say Roman's going to retain, and whichever way it goes, the Bullet Club will get involved. How, I don't know yet.
Okay. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, WrestlingInsider.com revealing the cause of China's death. This just breaking at this hour. According to longtime manager Anthony Anzaldo, former WWE performer Joni Lord died as a result of an accidental overdose of prescription drugs. Anzaldo talked with the New York Daily News, told him that China had been mixing Valium with Ambien. Both medications were legally prescribed to her, stating, quote, "She was inappropriately taking her legally prescribed medication over the course of 2 to 3 weeks," Anzaldo said. On Sunday night, her body had enough. Valium and Ambien have been part of China's life for years, but she recently upped her intake to much higher and dangerous levels. A toxicology report won't be available for several months. That's what her manager is reporting. We'll wait and see what the actual toxicology reports come out and say. Ladies, we're out of time. We don't have anything more we got to do. Catch Payback 7 days. We'll come back. We'll break it all down. I know I went off on Fight for the Mind, but it was a fantastic event. T, thank you so much again for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Anytime, buddy.
And as always, remember, boys and girls, please take care of the energy inside yourselves. After all, that's where your true power lies. And God of radio willing, that the higher power lets me, T and I'll be back to play with y'all again next week. It's a Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Just walk this way to the dawn of the night. The wind will blow into your face as the years pass you by. Hear this voice from deep inside. It's the call of your heart. Close your eyes.
Find the door to the promised land.